Okay, some Rashi's about Parshas Vayetze. Obviously, I can't stop thinking, learning, streaming my thoughts through our crisis, our tragedy, our nisayon, our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's being slowly constructed or not altered, but reinforced through the way we handle the nisayon. So because of that, I'm going to discuss more Rashi's than I generally do. I have about six on my mind, and less detail for each Rashi. And some of the Rashi's will only be marginally related to some of the issues regarding the war in our Emunah, but hopefully this will continue to help provide voice for how to navigate the current crisis through the Seder, through the Parsha Sashavua. Again, Yishmael is not in this Parsha, so all that Esav, and Esav is hardly in the Parsha. So this is not a Parsha which naturally lends itself to our encounter with the Umos HaOlam, which this war is, of course, part of, and hopefully the climax of, hopefully the conclusion of. So the first Rashi I wanted to talk about is the Rashi of the stones, and or the stone, and I'll quote my Rebbe Rav Amital, or paraphrase, and hopefully we'll continue from there. When Yaakov arrives at the mountain, in the middle of the night, he's frightened, he's alone, he's defenseless. When he arrives at the mountain, he takes several stones, he surrounds his head. But in the end, when he wakes up, there's one stone. So Rashi tells the famous medrash, Allah yaniach tzadik is roshi. They all were vying to host the head of Yaakov Avinu. Asana kadosh baruch hu evenachas. Hashem transformed them into one stone. Shenema v'ikachas even. My Rebbe Rav Amital, with what was the equivalent of, I think, a fourth grade cheder education in Hungary, had a unique capacity to see Midrashim not as literal but as metaphoric, which we all know we have to read Midrashim. Maybe in addition, maybe there are two layers. Who knows? Did the stone actually become one stone? Maybe, but in addition, the fact the story is being told, there's a metaphor to the story. And the metaphor is the birth of Am Yisrael. And finally, they're going to be 12 children, not one who's selected and one who's discarded, but 12 who are included. Each of them will have different traits. They'll all vie to host the Shechina or to host the Malchus. And the message to Yaakov is, you can be a leader if you can combine all those stones, all those traits, all those boys, all those Shevatim into one unified people. So can you take many stones, whether they're 12 or not is irrelevant, but many stones that you've placed around your head and wake up one day as a leader and find they've become one. So this is a Rashi which, of course, has us all thinking not just about stones or people uniting to host the head of a tzaddik, but stones or people uniting to carry Am Yisrael into its future. And we lived through a period in which people were vying, many of them, most of them, lishma. So when we look back at all the strife and discord of the past year, a lot of it was petty, a lot of it was personal, a lot of it was political, but a lot of it was ideological. How should the state of Israel, how should our people, how should our nation? And now we realize that we are one Evan, one stone, Evan Yisrael, Evan Achas, and in this case, the Tzaddik is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tzaddik Yisod Olam, placing his people, Alai Yaniach Tzaddik HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Es Rosho Shel Am Yisrael Alav, that we need every single person to contribute to become one Evan, one stone. So that's something Rav Amital would speak about, and I'm, of course, streaming it or applying it to our current situation. Another very, very loose Rashi. Again, some of these will be looser than others because I want the ideas to be more prominent, not necessarily the Rashi. Hine malachei Elokim, olim v'yardim bo. So what does Rashi say? Who are the malachim that are olim? And who are the malachim that are yardim? Who are the ascending angels? Who are the descending angels? Of course, there are many, many interpretations of the Medrash. The one Rashi chooses are, this is a shift. Now, at this point, some malachim are retiring or withdrawing from their duties. Other malachim are entering their duties. This is like Taranot, or you have a shift. When is your Shmirah? Many of the people who are not in Aza now are doing what they call Shmona Shmona, Shtemisrei Shtemisrei, Sheish Sheish, which is Israeli jargon for how long you're on and how long you're off. Eight on, eight off, 12 on, 12 off. Generally, ironically, it's the mentally intense shifts that are Shemona Shemona, like intelligence, because it's hard to concentrate longer. And the more physical, like one of my sons-in-law is just guarding an Arab village, so he's got Shtemisrei Shtemisrei, which is very, very hard.
Anyway, so the shift is because Yaakov is departing Eretz Yisrael, so the Malachim of Eretz Yisrael are withdrawing, ascending to Shemayim, and they're being replaced by the next shift of Malachim for Chutz Laretz, which is in and of itself a fascinating concept that there are differences between the Malachim of Eretz Yisrael and the Malachim of Chutz Laretz. You think Malachim inhabit a higher sphere in which geographical distinctions should not influence. You don't belong to this. Up in Shemayim, there's no geography, evidently, at least as regards to Eretz Yisrael. There are geographical distinctions even in Shemayim. Now, of course, what has me thinking is, as you all know, this is a war that's being fought on many fronts. It's a war of a military. It's a war of good versus evil. It's a war of public opinion. It's a war of protecting truth from fake news and fake, deceitful reengineering of truth. I wrote about it in this week's article in the Jerusalem Post. Maybe I'll link to this. It's printed in other places. Protecting the truth, holding on to truth. And everyone is a soldier in their own way. Davening, Tehillim, Ma'asim Tovim, political activism, or just being proud to be a Jew, wearing your Jewish identity in public, and maintaining moral clarity and moral lucidity, crystal clear moral lucidity. If that is true, then this Rashi reminds us that some of us are Malachi Eretz Yisrael, some of us are Malachi Chutz Laretz. So to all you out there who are listening in Chutz Laretz, don't think you're not part of this. There are Malachim in Chutz Laretz also. See yourself in that way. Second Rashi. Third Rashi. Yaakov has his dream, receives his assurance from Hashem that he will protect him. He receives assurance from Hashem that he has been chosen. He never heard from Hashem any endorsement or approval for his, quote-unquote, stealing the brachas. This is the first and only, not the only, but this is the first time. Yitzchak never told him, you did good. At least we don't see the psukim. So Yaakov is not just frightened, alone, cold, penniless and stalked, he also is unsure of himself. Is he the chosen one? Was this entire subterfuge accepted in Shemayim, or is Esav the chosen Zerah Nivchar? When Hashem finally appears to him in a dream and reinforces and reassures him, Vayisa Yaakov Raglav Vayelech Arza Kinan, he lifts his legs and he runs to Arza Kinan. So what does Rashi say? Mishin is Baser Besura Tova. Once he has focus, confidence, conviction, commitment, passion, that translates into physical vigor and into speed and into alacrity. Rashi's language is Baser Basura Tova. Once he receives all this reassurance from Hashem, Shehuftach Bishmira, not only was he endorsed by Hashem, but he was promised protection. Nasa Libo Es Raglav Venase Kal Lalechas. His heart lifted his feet and he ran. He was able to cover ground in exceptional pace, disproportionate pace. So you see that physical capacity is not just the product of, or physical strength, in this case speed, the flash, is not just a function of muscles, speed, and dexterity. It's also a function of believing in a larger purpose. And in this case, the larger purpose of Am Yisrael, the long view of Am Yisrael, lends him this strength and vigor. And of course, that strength and vigor doesn't just translate into him being a speedy runner to Aram Narayim, but a strong Herculean lifter of a rock, which took masses of people to lift. He can lift on his own, in part because he sees Rachel, and now his future is coming into sharper focus. It's not just a commitment from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but now he's connecting the dots. This is the woman that he plans to marry. We hope and we pray and we believe that this is happening in Aza. Some believe in death. Some believe in chaos. Some believe in disorder. Some believe in torture. Those are not long-standing beliefs. You can take a pill. You can put yourself into a drugged-out frenzy, zombified frenzy. But there's no long-lasting conviction, belief in something larger. Our soldiers hopefully continue to believe and know that they're fighting this larger battle of good versus evil. And we all hope. One of the dangers of a ceasefire is that some of this morale and some of this idealism and some of this vision will abate. And we hope that as a people, we are able to keep our vision of what we are involved in and the justifiable war and the morality of this war and the horrible, horrible crimes of these subhuman animals and that they deserve to no longer inhabit this earth. We hope that we'll continue to maintain that vision and that commitment. So that's Rashi number 3. I'm trying to hustle because I don't want this year to be too long. Rashi number 4. Rashi number 4 is Yaakov. Well, I'm going back a little, I apologize. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yaakov, Haaretz, Hasher ata shochev aleha, lecha etinena ulezarecha. This is a bit of a of a discrepancy. It's not proportionate. Hashem gives the entire land, not just the land that Yaakov is lying upon, Yerushalayim. He's lying in Yerushalayim. He's shochev in Yerushalayim. That's not the land Hashem promises. So Rashi, noticing this inconsistency, this asymmetry, quotes the Gemara in Chulin. Gemara in Chulin means that Kadosh Baruch Hu folded like an origami, folded Eretz Yisrael into one axis point, A-X-I-S, not just A-C-C-E-S-S, one axis, one vector, and Yaakov was essentially lying on the entire Eretz Yisrael, whatever that means, whatever that nes was. Ramaz LaKadosh Baruch Hu signals to Yaakov, Shetehei Nocha Likovesh Levanav, that it will be so easy for the children of Yaakov to conquer this land. All you have to do is lie on the land, and the entire land is folded underneath you, and it's going to be easy. So first of all, when you read this Rashi over Shabbos, ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ribono Shel Olam, it's a Gemara in Chulin. We deserve it to have Havtacha that comes true. Who knows, maybe it would have been even more difficult had HaKadosh Baruch Hu not folded the land under Yaakov. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you gave us this promise in the Gemara in Chulin. Maybe it's time for this promise to actually happen and to be Nocha Likavesh Livanov, Kipel Eretz Yisrael, Kol Eretz Yisrael Tachtav. The second thing that has me thinking is that Kadosh Baruch Hu, we don't have Yaakov lying on one location under which all of Eretz Yisrael sleeping has been folded. But right now, the terrain and the landscape of Eretz Yisrael is littered and dotted with our soldiers who are sleeping on the ground like Yaakov did in cold, wet conditions, especially those, I mean everyone, but especially those in Chutz Laaretz who are looking for a way to identify with parts that are not conveyed in politics. Just think of all your nephews and cousins and friends, children, who are literally, as you're comfortable in your bed at night, were sleeping out in the cold or sleeping in basically checkpoints, you know, rearranged to have mattresses on the floor. Again, it's not as terrible. And then suddenly, you know, we try to take care of our soldiers. But think about Yaakov lying on a quiet, cold mountain. And Hashem saying, Ha'aretz asher ata shochev aleha. Lecha etzenenu ulezarecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu ha'aretz asher habanim shelcha shochev aleha. Lecha etzenenu ulezarecha. Rabbanu shalom. Okay, Rashi number 4. Rashi number 5. All of these Rashis, I hope, help connect and anchor us to our experience. Leah receives her fourth son, Reuven, Shimon, Levi. Her fourth son is Yehuda. Vatomer, hapam, odeh Hashem. Now, I will thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Milashon Yehuda. I'm grateful to Hashem. Gemara in Brachas, another Gemara in front of me, thinks Hamad Beis says that until Leah, Vavam Beis, until Leah was Modet HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zion maybe, and he's looking at the Taurus, Talbis Aaron here, and then Chumash, until Leah said thank you to Hashem, no one had ever thanked Hashem. Is that really believable? 2,200 years approximately passed, and no one thanked HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's hard to believe Noach didn't. It's hard to believe Avram didn't. Hard to believe Yitzchak didn't. Right? We're not talking about maybe the world was so lost and Hashem was so obscure that no one thanked Hashem. But Hayitachin, that our Avos and Imos didn't thank Hashem and Leah was the first. There's got to be something deeper to this Gemara. And I think the answer is something I've thought about for many, many years. And I'm repeating myself, so if you've heard some of these Rashis before, I apologize. Normally I try to pick new Rashis. Always try to be makbid when saying something new. In general, and certainly with Rashi's, but this week I just felt like the connecting to the Parsha was more important than any other trying to find new Rashi's or new material. Hapam, Odes Hashem, Leah knows that her life will never be as ideal as she had sought. She will always be second fiddle. She will always be the extra wheel. It's clear to her. She could have 4 children. She could have 40 children. Yaakov's eyes are only for Rachel. And we see that, of course, when Rachel dies and Bilhah and Reuven. So by now it's clear to her that having more children is not going to increase her station. And at this point she says, you know what, I'll be grateful for what I have rather than being ungrateful because it doesn't match what I've dreamed the ideal to be. And her ideal, as every girl, as every person, you want to be the one. You want to be married to your sweetheart, to the person who only has eyes for you, only wants you. And that will never happen for Leah. Not only that, there's a crowd of women in Yaakov's home. There's going to be a Zilpah, there's going to be a Bilhah, even though they haven't had children yet, but they were married off the night right? We see them earlier in Parshas Vayetze. So our house can be a crowded house. So if she can't be she can't have the marriage she always dreamed of, at least she'll be the Eim HaShvatim. She'll be the mother of Am Yisrael. And ultimately she mothers seven children, at least seven that we know of, right? Because I'll say that they had Tomos, it's the twins, but at least in terms of the names that we encounter in Parshas Vayetze, in Parshas Vayishlach. So that's important in life. It's important not to be ungrateful when your ideal is shattered, but you still should be grateful for what you can be. To a degree, it's Chizkiah's failure. Chizkiah doesn't say Hallel, even though Yerushalayim is spared in a miraculous way that could be pre-Messianic. 185,000 soldiers died miraculously. Why? Because it wasn't, the Gemara doesn't tell us, but evidently because it wasn't perfect. Because those same armies that had been miraculously defeated by Kodesh Baruch Hu intervening the night of Pesach had previously completely plummeted and completely stampeded and rampaged and plundered the entire north of Eretz Yisrael, and essentially had exiled the Ten Shvatim. So Chizkiah woke up one morning and he saw an imperfect nace in an imperfect world. That's why he didn't say Hallel. Leah is the antithesis. Leah knows her life won't be perfect, but is thankful for what she can be thankful. I talked about this issue in a separate shiur, and I'll link to it in the notes to this shiur. We have a very hard days, a couple days coming ahead of us, and a lot of mixed emotions, where the hostages, Be'ezus Hashem, will be freed. And so much of this will be, how will it affect the war effort? How will it affect long-term prospects? These are all murderers or people that will assist murder. How will it affect public opinion now that we're holding the war and have to re-enter the war with all of Sonei Yisrael, Soneinu Mastinenu, Stompios Mastinenu, Mekadrigenu? But on the other hand, just seeing 50, 60 neshamos, 50, 60 babies, women, elderly, ill, being reunited with their families. Just try to find that part of your emotional space in which you can just be grateful to Hashem and say, Hodu l'Adonai ki tov ki li'olam chasdo, without having to qualify and but and who knows. It's so important to follow the lead of Leah. Hapam, Odes Hashem. Is it perfect? Who knows? HaKadosh Baruch Hu hopefully will make it perfect. B'chachmasa ha'aliyona. But just be happy. And find that place where you can just be happy without any conditions and qualifiers. It's very, very hard. Finally, very interesting, Rashi. And to be honest, this is actually new because I've never noticed it before. There are many terms for Hashem saving us. Melech, Ozer, Umoshia, Umagain. And we know how to differentiate between Ozer, help, Melech, Ozer, Moshia, saving us from suffering, from evil, from danger, and Umagain, and protecting us. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us the skill the resources and the intelligence and the creativity to create an iron dome. Could you imagine how many chas v'shalom, how many people would be killed if we didn't have at least the yecholus that Hashem gave us to provide that baseline of protection? But then there's a word called Kodesh Baruch Hu saves us. V'itzalti, let's say v'itzalti v'galti v'lekachti. So we just say that Hashem saves us. But Rashi has a different view. In this week's parsha, the word vayatzel appears twice, Hatzalah. Right? Those of you who participate in Hatzalah, this will be particularly resonant. Vayatzel Elokim es mikne avichem. This is Yaakov defending himself to his wives. And he says, Hashem saved your father's mikne for me, vayiten li. And then later when they justify, they say, we're all in, let's leave. They say, ki kol ha'usher shehitzil Elokim me'avinu lanuhu. I mean, Hashem saved them. Were they in danger? Hashem delivered them, vayitenli, not hitzil. So Rashi has something very interesting. Hitzil doesn't mean to save. The word lahatzil, at least for Rashi, the Ben Ezra disagrees, I believe. Lashon hifrish means to separate. Now, in this context, Aparshas Vayetze means kol ha'osher, all their wealth, perek lamed aleph pasuk tezayin, asher hitzil elokim me'avinu, Hashem separated from Lavan for me. Or vayatzel elokim es mikne avichem, Hashem separated certain animals, the spotted, the dotted, and gave it to Yaakov. Now, if vayatzel means he separated, how does it also mean he rescued or saved? Firashi says, v'chein kol lashon hatzalah shebimikra, lashon hafrasha, separate, divide, keep at a distance. And of course, in the context of Hashem saving us from danger, mafrisho min hara'a u min ha'oyev, Hashem protects us or saves us by separating us from our enemies and from evil. Namely, the word Hatzalah in the Torah refers to Hashem saving us in a particular way. Not protecting us, Magain, not salvation, redeeming us, Moshiach, not assisting us, Ozer, he does all that, but he keeps evil at a distance. He separates us from evil. He puts us in Goshen and the others, of course, in Mitzrayim. It's a very different way to understand Hashem helping us. Now, what does this have to do with our war? It's really important. And again, I'm sure people are listening to this in very different contexts. You look at the news and you see the hatred and the vitriol and the antagonism and the violence and kill the Jews. And of course, we hope that those efforts, and we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu will blunt those efforts in Netzach Yisrael. But a lot of it is just, it's not part of our world. I speak to a lot of kids on campuses. And they say, you know what, with everything happening on the news, you just stick to your own classes in your own dorm. Is there a location where this horrible protest taking place? Of course, but you don't go there. Again, it could depend on which city you live in, which country you live in, but in New York, most of the people I've spoken to in the New York area, their lives, at least environmentally, are continuing as normal. You don't have protests, people aren't screaming at them, they're not shouting at them, most of the signs that are up remain up. Again, if you live further away from the center, there it could be, it's different, but sometimes there's a lot of evil in this world. There's a lot of hatred. But Kodesh Baruch Hu keeps it at a distance and doesn't let it get to us. Now, in the age of missiles, you can get to Israel from Yemen, you can get to Israel from Iran. But the fact that in some far-off Russian city, they're protesting and threatening and killing the Jews, it's not pleasant. We wish it weren't true. It's a deterrent to Gula. But Kodesh Baruch Hu is matzilas, but just, okay, so these crazy, barbaric, pro-rape and pro-torture protests. So they take place in some cities. So they'll smash the windows of their city. Again, hopefully there's no Jews there. They'll smash the windows of those cities and they'll riot and burn tires and let the police deal with it. So we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be Ozer, to continue to help us and give us the skills, to be Moshiach, to rescue us in these bleak conditions, to be Magain, to continue to shield us with whatever supernatural or natural tools, and to be Matzil us, keep all those Rishayim far away from us, far, far away. And you know what? You could be your own matzil. What does that mean? I know I found that, at least for me, toning out some of the news, toning out some of the social media without it becoming apathetic, chas v'shalom, or walking away or zoning out, it's a little helpful to be matzil myself to keep all this negativity and toxicity at a distance. Shabbat shalom. And hopefully, these are some voices that help us navigate our current situation through, of course, Rashi in Parshas Vayetzeh.